The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
We did, and we're back. It's Friday night. Glad to have you along. End of a week. Jesus, seems like I've said that before. I assume the weekend is ahead, but you never know the way the world is going, what's going to happen tomorrow. This hour, George Filer and Frank Chile, who gave me his phone number, but it doesn't work. So somehow it got written down incorrectly. So I'm going to rummage around and see if I can find the right number here while we're talking. How are you, George?
Fine. I'm fine.
What you doing?
What am I doing? Well, I was at the VA hospital today, and they...
Just what, recreation? I hope you're all right.
I'm okay. They just did a little procedure on me.
A transplant?
Right. Oh, I had a...
that's none of my business. Don't tell me.
Little dermatology work. Had a funny, I don't know what you call it exactly, but growth near my eye, and they took it off.
I could have done that for you.
Right.
No charge. You know, they make these, they freeze it off?
No, they cut it off.
Oh, God. Look, please... We be careful. We're going to send in for an autopsy. Excuse me, a biopsy. I'm getting ahead of the game. And I just don't trust them. If there's any issues, first of all, second opinion. Third, talk to me. There's lots of things to be done. They always just panic. Well, we got the margins, we think, but just to be sure, you better do this chemotherapy. Oh, my God. Anyway, I... You ever little thing on your skin? You know what I do? This sounds gross maybe, but I don't. I just pick it off with my fingernail or my index finger. I just scratch the damn thing off, and you know what? They never come back.
Yeah, I pray that, but it's in an awkward place, you know.
Yeah. Well, all right. If it's right in the middle of your eyeball, I'll forgive you.
Right.
Anyway, these things just happen. There's so much crap and toxicity in our lives. I'm amazed that people aren't walking laboratory petri dishes for all kinds. And they probably are for all kinds of things that they'll never even know about. You never know, folks, from day to day. And I want to mention again how much we will miss Helene Olson, our regular Friday night guest, first Friday of each month for, I don't know how long, 2-3 years anyway, and all the wonderful psychic readings she did for people, and to share her goodness and her being with so many. She had such a large following after, and she had never been on radio before, and just a wonderful human being, and was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, which is about the worst. Must have been four or five months ago, and called me, and she was going to go to Brazil as a healer down there, and she got too weak too fast, and so we lost her. But she's still here. She's a truly spiritually cosmic soul and a wonderful human being. And every day is a blessing, George. Every day is a blessing.
Yes. I used to look up at the roses. It's time for spring and all the good weather.
Better to look down at the roses and look up at them from underneath, Frank.
Well, that's true.
We got to get Frank here. Frank, where is Frank? We're still, I guess, are you there, Frank?
I'm here. Yep, happy Friday.
Happy Friday. What happened to the phone number thing?
I don't know. I was waiting, and I tried calling George. I left a message, but I've been ready to go since we spoke about 9:30.
We called three times, and Todd said no answer.
Wow. No, it's the same number. Maybe it was just those gremlins.
Was it, I know the area code, and then it was 502, and I'll stop there, and the last four digits were, the first digit was doubled with the next one.
No, it's not doubled. It's not doubled.
Oh, then I wrote it down wrong.
Okay, not a problem.
Okay.
We're all together now.
We are indeed. Anyway, George and I were just talking about advanced medical technology here in the West. those typical UFO conversations. What have you been doing, Frank? You're a busy man. You're always doing something.
Well, something told me to come home early tonight, and when I got your call, I really wasn't too surprised because I had a couple stories that I felt I wanted to share with you. And boy, one of them has to do with a psychic that I had met in California, and you were just telling the story of the woman who had passed, who was your Friday night guest for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, just a very talented, truly gifted in her field. And so tell us your story.
When I moved out to California in the late 70s, I think I had mentioned to you my brother Simon had contacted the Van Tassels, the one who built the Integratron, and he was a gifted architect. And George Van Tassel's dream was when the Integratron was activated, he wanted to have a university setting built around the Integratron to share the cosmic truths that had been given to him by his space friends. So my brother Simon felt the calling to go out there and to assist Van Tassel in that. And he was going to work for nothing. He wanted to lend his services for it. Unfortunately, Van Tassel passed, I believe it was in February of 78.
I met one of his kids, the Van Tassel children.
Yeah, there was four daughters.
No, there was this was married. This guy was, are you sure he didn't have a son? Then he was married to one of the daughters.
Oh, he had son-in-laws. One was Norm Paulson, who wrote Return of the Ancients based upon his experiences with the brothers.
No, wait a minute. Norman, hold on. Norman Paulson, not the guy who had the Sunburst Farms cult.
That's him.
You're kidding.
I swear, that's him.
I knew Norman.
Did he ever tell you his experiences out at the desert, at the Integratron?
I don't believe he did. We did one thing I did an hour-long interview with him on film, color film. was very interesting. That was a real legitimate group.
He had the first organic farm in the United States.
Yeah. No, Norman was an amazing man in many ways. That's fascinating. I didn't know that. Wow.
And one of the other daughters married Daniel Boone, who's a direct descendant of the pioneer Daniel Boone.
Uh-huh.
And he still lives out there. And I have stories about Daniel Boone I could share with you, too. But anyway, Simon went out there, and Van Tassel had passed away in February of 1978. And Simon had gotten out there, and he was working with George's wife by the name of Doris. She was a chiropractor. She'd do chiropractic work, to earn an income. and Simon was living out there. And I moved out there, had a job offer to relocate to California. So my wife and I at the time moved out there. And Simon came to me and he said, Frank, he said, you need to come out here and spend a weekend. So my wife was very understanding, and we went out on a Friday and met with Doris and shared some incredible stories with her. And I brought a sleeping roll with me, a sleeping bag. Simon had one too. And we were up till maybe about 1 a.m. in the morning.
What you're trying to tell us, Frank, is that you rolled your own? Is that what it was?
No.
Sleeping bag?
I'm straight.
Just a little joke. No, hey, it's all gone legal now anyway. It's okay.
I know. So anyway, Doris had this beautiful home that was maybe 150 yards from the Integratron.
Really?
In the living room. Yes. And she had this incredible bow window looking out towards Giant Rock and towards Goat Mountain and, you know, the dry lake bed.
Wow.
So we stayed up to about 1 o'clock in the morning. Just before she went to bed, she said to Simon and I, she said, Simon and Frank, be very careful. Sometimes people come and knock at the front door in the middle of the night, and she says, you have to be very careful who you let into the house. And she says, I'm just telling you this, not as, you know, to frighten you, but just to make you aware, because she said, all kinds of visitors come here. So we rolled our sleeping bags out on the floor of the living room, and Simon and I were talking for about another 45 minutes, and we, all of a sudden, this intense beam of light came in through the bow window. And bathed Simon.
I mean, when
I,
you say bow window, are you talking like bow window, like a, that
bow
shape?
Window, yes.
Okay.
Shape, yes.
Gotcha.
And all this white light came into the living room, and it flooded Simon and I, and it froze both of us in our sleeping bags. We were totally awake, and our eyes were open, we were awake, but we couldn't move in our sleeping bag.
Could you talk?
And no, we couldn't even talk. And our heads were facing the front door of the house, and the back of the house was where the kitchen was, and there was a back door there. Well, we heard the back door open and then close, and then we heard the door to Doris's bedroom open and close. We heard that, and I'd say maybe 10, maybe 15 minutes at the most passed by. Again, Simon and I were immobilized. We heard the door to her bedroom open and close, and a door to the kitchen leading outside open and close. And within maybe 30 seconds after that, there was this intense beam of light. It flooded the living room again, and after it disappeared, or after it stopped, Simon and I had complete mobility. And we said to each other, what the heck did we just experience? So, you know, we wanted to go in and talk to Doris right away, but we didn't want to disturb her, so we waited till the morning. And, of course, we were up at the crack of dawn, and she came out about 7 o'clock, and we said, Doris, where did Kirk last night? And she said, we had a visit. She said one of the visitors from upstairs came down and gave me some information regarding events here at the Integratron and regarding her husband, George. And that's all that she would say. But it was an incredible experience, Jeff. And I'm telling you this as, you know, my own truth. Simon and I could not move in that sleeping bag. And she said they did that just so no one would get hurt, nothing would be disturbed, and that they could conduct whatever they needed to do with Doris.
I understand. Very interesting.
Now,
yeah.
I'm going to back up. Can I back up a little bit?
You can back up as far as you want.
Okay.
Just don't fall over the edge.
Yeah. No, I won't. After that experience where the light allowed Simon and I to be free, we drifted off to sleep, and it was like a very restless sleep for me. And I'd say maybe about 4 o'clock in the morning, I heard a knock on the front door. So I got up, got out of the sleeping bag, went over to the front door, opened it, and I looked out, and there's a screen door facing towards the desert. And I went out on the porch, and I looked out on the horizon, and I saw two lights come from south to north over the house. And then I saw two lights on the horizon from the east cross over the house to the west. And I told her about that.
It's a lot of activity.
And she said, you saw ships that were out there that night.
Mm-hmm. For those of you listening, if you're interested in this, and I hope you are, because it is a fascinating period in ufology, look up Integratron, I-N-T-E-G-R-A-T-R-O-N, Integratron. Quite a remarkable building. Made out of wood, I guess.
Yes, wooden plaster, no metal at all.
Yeah, fascinating. The shape is Frank Lloyd Wright-ish, but otherworldly. Yeah. And it's out in the desert. It's out in the Mojave Desert, out in the, near Giant Rock, where George Van Tassel held so many meetings under the rock, and fly-ins, and that was when contactees were considered unique, interesting people, and, well, amongst the community anyway. Now, I swear, I knew Norm Paulson in Santa Barbara. That's where he had
his
big farm, a little bit north up Gaviota way. And I went up and spent hours up there. It was called a commune, but these people were they were organic farmers, basically, is what they were. And he was kind of the guru, the head man. He had I went to UC Santa Barbara, and there's a student community next to it named Isla Vista. And in Isla Vista, Norman Paulson built probably the first organic restaurant, maybe in America. I don't know.
I think it was in America.
And we would eat there. Oh, my God, was it good. And he had a geodesic dome just with the metal pieces, the steel pipes or whatever they were, out in the back. And it was all overgrown with vines. And it was just extraordinary, the whole thing. Just great. And now, as far as Van Tassel, I met a guy in Santa Barbara. Don't know how, forgot, but we got talking about this, and he had a business card, and he was using the name Van Tassel on it. Now, why, I don't know. Maybe he was married to one of the daughters and just decided to adopt the name for whatever reason. But he knew too much to have been a phony. I don't know what the connection was, but he talked a lot about George and about the whole thing out there at Giant Rock. So I don't know who the guy was. But anyway.
Well, if you get a chance, I recommend you read Return of the Ancients, Norm Paulson's book. It's really fascinating, and it tells about the building of the Integratron, how the visitors work with George, his interaction with Daniel Boone. And Daniel Boone, when we would go out to the desert and visit Gabriel Green, we'd go out for long weekends, and we'd go visit Daniel, and he told us a story that there were a lot of young people who came to help George in the building of the Integratron. However, there was always three or four young men there, probably in their they'd look to be in their mid-20s. That Norm Paulson didn't know and Daniel Boone didn't know, but George Van Tassel apparently knew. So this one day, Daniel said he was cleaning up some debris of wood pieces of the construction during the day, and there was this young fellow who was sitting on the tailgate of a pickup truck, of Van Tassel's pickup truck, and he had a piece of copper wire, and he was configuring it in the most unusual manner. So Daniel went over to him, and he was looking at what the fellow was doing. And after the fellow was done, told Daniel, touch the end of it. Daniel touched it, and it was hot. And the fellow said to Daniel, this is a destructive use of energy. Anything that generates heat is a destructive use of energy. So he straightened out the piece of copper wire, Jeff, and he reconfigured it again. And then he told Daniel to touch the end of it. And he said, how did it feel? Daniel said it felt cold. He said, this is a constructive use of energy. He said, I want you to know this, because at some point in the future, this is going to be very important to something that you're going to do. We found out later, after the young fellows left from George Van Tassel, that they were visitors. And later on, that one visitor who showed him the copper wiring, how he configured it, he gave the final wiring diagram to the Integratron, to Daniel Boone. He said, when mankind is ready, we will let you know, and you can activate the Integratron using the wiring diagram that he gave him, and he memorized it.
George Van Tassel never got to the point of fully activating it, did he?
No. He got so much grief from the Internal Revenue Service.
I remember.
They were camped out on Goat Mountain, staring at them, with the constructor.
It's just like they have nothing else to do, huh? God.
Yeah, and that was all built with donations. There was no federal money there whatsoever.
Unbelievable.
So Daniel still lives out there. He's in his early 80s now. And when we would go out there, we would visit with him, and I'd say, Daniel, have you seen the brothers recently? And he lived in an area, Jeff, where the backyard was just, probably 100 acres with nobody around it.
Yeah.
And he said they would land behind his house at night. They would invite him to go on board. And I said, how did it seem inside? He said, he saw the most incredible colors. He said, I don't even know the earth names for these colors. Mm-hmm. And geometric patterns inside the ship. And he said, the ship would take off because they could see from the bottom of the floor was transparent. They could see taking off, but he said there was no sense in the movement whatsoever.
Well, heard this before. I'm not surprised. He's still out there. When is the last time you went out to visit him?
The last time I saw him was probably maybe 18 years ago.
Might be
he
time
ran a
for
towing
another
service in the desert.
Towing service.
Yeah. He would go around, and when people would like break down in the desert or run out of gas or their radiator would overheat, he'd give them service and not charge them for it.
Can you, if you go out there again, can we really need to have this gentleman on the program, if he'd like, and not to tell him this is not an exploitation issue at all. This is genuine, and I'd really like to give him a little platform to talk, if he'd like to. He was there during the building. And before, he knows Giant Rock.
He knows it, yeah. He's never left the area. He lives in Landers, California.
Wow. Well, he's certainly welcome if you ever connect with him or can somehow.
I could probably connect with him through his son, Matthew, and see if he'd be willing to come onto your program. I'm telling you, he could talk hours and hours.
Well, I'll do it. I'll take as much time as we need.
Did you have a radio program when Van Tassel was active doing things in the 60s and 70s?
No. I started this radio program in... I was a television news anchorman, a news director for 12 years at four or five stations all over the West Coast. Okay. And then I started this radio program in 1994.
Okay, 94. Okay.
So... And I don't recall when I met this fellow who he was a used car salesman, but he was an interesting guy. And I don't know, it was down near the harbor in Santa Barbara, and don't know why I got to talking to him, but he gave me his card, and it said, he was, you know, I'm remembering more now, and I think he did mention that he was Van Tassel's son-in-law. You are right. I was wrong. It just came back to me. Mm-hmm. Fascinating. All right. We have to take a break here. Major George Filer, one of the great people of our times, is standing by, and he's going to share with us. What are you going to tell us, George, after the break? You got a great story.
Lots of things.
Oh, I know. You always do have lots of things. But maybe we can talk about Barry Goldwater and George was stared down
Armstrong.
By a, yeah, George stared down an E.T., a tall blonde E.T., and ladies' man that he is, she turned and ran. That's another story. All right, we're with Frank Chile and George Filer and all of you good people, and we'll be right back. Okay, if you go to Rents and look in the center column, you'll see the two issues, the most current two issues of George Filer's Files. He, of course, the editor-in-chief, and you can get this subscription sent to your electronic mailbox free of charge. It is well worth it. Once a week, you get some really top-notch information, fascinating stories, photographs, the works. Filer's Files. Just email George at major@verizon.net and tell him you'd like a subscription, and he'll start it right up. If you don't like it, he'll unstart it, but you'll like it. It's fun. So take a look in the center of rents.com, and you'll see the most current two editions up there for you. And George, tell us a story.
I'll tell you a story, huh?
Yeah.
But each week I write a new Filer's Files for since 1999. And for 97, I guess I started. But I, the Eastern director of MUFON, and I wanted to get the information out to our MUFON people, and then it kind of grew from there. Now we're sending out about 31,000 emails a week.
How many?
31,000.
Great.
Not sure they all get through, but we send them out.
31,000. I remember when it was 5 and 6 and 7, and wow, it's exploded in the last 2-3 years.
Well, a lot of people are interested in...
Well, they should be.
Like
it's
I mentioned, I was at the doctor today, and the doctor seemed very interested in the whole situation with UFOs and how they heal people and use often use blue and green light.
Uh-huh.
And I looked into the fact that, aliens use it, maybe it's good enough for us. And it turns out that in the 30s, hospitals in America, and particularly in Philadelphia, use green and
violet. They use violet light for years. Montgomery Ward used to sell violet lights for healing.
Right. That we're all, if you think about it, the sun is with us every day, and that's part of our makeup, and that this light apparently has a healing aspect to it. In any case, it's something that people can think about. In any case, I was writing about Senator Barry Goldwater today. I never actually met him, but I had spent a great deal of time in General May's office, and he has a famous story where he claims that he asked General May about UFOs, and he told him never to speak about them again. And in any case, he started tricking around and found out that there was some truth in the situation that there were aliens visiting us.
Well, LeMay knew. I mean, you used to brief people high in the military. George was a secret clearance man who would bring information to various generals and so forth. Curtis LeMay knew. He knew what was going on.
Well, he didn't tell me about it, but I salute him and give him plus of that information during the Cuban crisis. In any case, Senator Barry Goldwater was a senator from 1953 to 1987.
Mm-hmm.
He was also a retired Air Force Major General and pilot. And in 1964, he became the Republican presidential nominee.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, he lost to Lyndon Johnson. But in any case, he's quoted as saying is that, "I certainly believe in aliens in space." This is Barry Goldwater. "They may not look like us, but I have a very strong feeling that they have advanced beyond our mental capabilities." He said he was refused permission to check in to the Air Force files on the UFOs, and added, "I think some highly secret government UFO investigations are going on that we don't know about, and probably never will unless the Air Force discloses them."
Uh-huh.
The point is that he's in an important position and knew a lot of the right people. And apparently he knew Colonel Blanchard. Now, one of the things about the crash at Roswell, Colonel Blanchard was the commander of the base at Roswell.
Mm-hmm.
And
by the way, Roswell, for our listeners, George, let me just repeat this, was the world's first atomic bomb Air Force base, so to speak. Even though it was still the Army Air Corps, it was a nuclear base, the first one.
509th Bombardment Wing was there with B-29s, and he was the commander, and according to the stories, which I pretty much confirmed, that a vehicle crashed in the desert, not too far from Roswell. Additionally, there appears to have been another one that crashed over at St. Augustine.
Correct.
Not far from there.
Right.
And won't talk about that one tonight, but I have a good friend who has some inside information on that that I'm sure you'll like to hear about in the future.
Great.
In any case, Blanchard was a friend of Goldwater, and Blanchard was a colonel. People don't realize that he ended up as a four-star general and vice commander of the Air Force. The point is that anyone who knew about UFOs, in most cases, was promoted and went right up the line of command. General Ramey was another one who was commander of 8th Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
He ended up with four stars.
They were on the inside. Yeah.
Right. The insiders got promoted, which is, I think, very significant.
Yes, it is.
Now, I haven't talked to Mark Clark McClellan recently. Have you talked to him? But he claims that he had talked to General LeMay up close, and that he indicated that...
Yeah, he said that before on this program. Clark is struggling, and I've got to get him back on pretty soon, but that's interesting.
In any case, we're getting it from multiple sources.
Mm-hmm.
Now...
Can you hold on, George? We've got to
sure.
do this little pause, and we'll come back. It's a good place to stop. We'll continue with Major Filer in just a couple minutes. Hold on. Okay, and we're back. All right, George, go right ahead with your story, please.
Well, my point is that something happened in the distant past, and I'd like to bring us up to date, talk about what happened just a few days ago on March 18th, for example. You know, the ISS, the National Space Station, is flying overhead.
Oh. Uh-huh.
And they have cameras, and they, you know, shine them out into space, so to speak, and it's becoming almost a weekly situation where their cameras pick up some kind of a UFO flying by. And in files 13, it shows you the picture of a cylinder that appears to be, you know, approximately a mile long. That's they're taking pictures of from the ISS. And the point is that it's, you know, astronauts and astronauts up there taking pictures of UFOs. So it certainly indicates that something's flying around at high speed. We're clocking some of them at 100,000 miles an hour. And these huge craft every so often come down and visit us. I don't know if they're on tour or what, you know, from another planet saying, come and look at Earth and see how nice it is.
Well, it would be almost as good as the Universal Studios tour to come here and watch this lunatic bin.
Kind of like a Walt Disney tour.
Yeah.
In any case, they're showing up regularly. And, of course, you probably know that I saw a similar object over England and had it on radar. And periodically, they're seen by people. And they're seen on a regular basis. Of course, the public doesn't normally realize this, but if they start checking the downloads from the IRS, they'll be able to see it themselves. But we're starting to get a pickup in the number of sightings seen.
They're not hiding either. They're kind of out there in our face now. They're not playing stealth games. I mean, they're there. Which issue, 12 or 13, would be the one to look for the ISS story?
13.
Okay. We have the top two issues, most recent, in the center column at Rents with George's wonderful newsletter.
Some of our astronauts are starting to talk as well. In this case, Timothy Good, I don't know if him is a...
years ago.
On your program, but he's one of the best researchers.
He really is.
He was at a
yeah.
Conference in Italy, and astronaut Armstrong was there.
Neil Armstrong.
Neil Armstrong, and according to Timothy Good, he claimed at this meeting, not in the United States, but in Italy, he says, it was incredible. Of course, we had always known there was a possibility. The fact is, we were warned off. There was never any question then of a space station or a moon city.
Huh.
In any case,
that's why the moon program was disconnected. We were told to stay away. Yeah.
So these ships were far superior to anything we have, both in size and in technology. Boy, were they big and menacing. Now, this kind of thing has been told to me by other astronauts.
But what you're saying is that Timothy Good recorded this, and this is a verbatim statement from Neil
right.
Armstrong. That is a stunning statement. That ends the cover-up right there, even though it was made in Italy. Timothy Good doesn't play games, so very good.
Well, he'll stand behind it. It's in his,
sure.
his book and so on. One of the best books ever written.
Yep.
In any case, people might go outside once in a while and see what they see. As the weather gets better, we're getting more reports. The MUFON, 600-700 this month. And, of course, Peter Davenport is getting his equivalent numbers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And plus there's many other people that get reports. Personally, people send reports to me, you know, on a regular basis.
You have a picture, a very good picture from 1950, of an object
right.
over New York City, a cylindrical object with blunt ends, and fascinating. I mean, these things go way back. March 20th, 1950. Interesting.
Right, that's from the Blue Book files.
Uh-huh.
Some of them at least were recently released, although you can go to the archives and see a lot of that information. I don't know... where most of your listeners are, but we're getting reports from all over the world, Australia, England, France, Germany, even the Middle East and so on, Africa, South America.
Well, that's
South
where
Africa
our...
is quite frequently.
Yeah, that's where our listeners are. They're all over the world. It's amazing.
And if they see something, we always like to have them reported to us. But the MUFON site, or they can send it to my site, nationalufocenter.com. But we like to report it and send it out to the information to people all over the world. Then we have field investigators that will, if you'd like, contact you and get more information. And if it's a particularly good sighting, we even go out and say it's a landing, for example, measure
uh-huh.
how deep the ground is compressed and get an idea of the weight of the object. Some are 30 tons. Some are huge. People are not aware of this, but for example, in England and other places in the world, there's marks in the ground that are thousands of years old that are the shape of these cylinders that you see on the picture there.
Huh.
In 13, they call it cursus. And they the archaeologists could never figure out what they were there for.
Mm-hmm.
And they assumed that they were like horse racing areas, that the horses would go around this area, and they marked it out neatly. And there's three or four of them in England. But interestingly, when I was in England, I saw one in the air, and it was the exact shape of this cursus. It could have landed there and been like a, you know, a monument to the fact that the alien craft landed there. In other words, there's information from the past. If you start looking at it,
uh-huh.
It indicates that they've been here for a long time.
Right.
Now, I'm going to be a TV series on the History Channel starting April 10th called Hangar One.
It's already been taped?
Yeah, it's already been mm-hmm. put together, and it's supposedly going to start on first Friday of August.
Hangar One.
April right. 10th
mm-hmm.
at 10 o'clock in both the East and Pacific. I guess it's 9 in the Central Zone. That indicates people from MUFON. They filmed me for about 3 hours. I don't know which segment I'll be on. All of them, or if I ended up on the, you know, the cutting room floor. But it should be a good series about UFOs, that you can get some of the latest information to see for your, you know, the people out there to see for themselves. We have some good sightings, for example, in Texas. And,
is this a MUFON? George, excuse me, is this a MUFON production, or is it something that the Mutual UFO Network is just working with the producers on?
They're working with the producers.
Okay.
You know,
well, my goodness, there's how many years has MUFON been around? 40-something. How many reports are there to explore, and hundreds of thousands? I don't know. It's just...
Right.
Huge number.
Like 1,000 a month in recent years.
Yeah.
It falls off a little bit in the winter because of the weather. But
doesn't mean they're not here. It means that we're not looking because we're inside. Frank Chile, do you have anything else you want to add tonight? We have about 3 minutes left, and I really appreciate sharing the story about the Integratron and what's going on out there in the desert.
Well, we can share more. Just a little bit further regarding what George is stating, it's going to be on History Channel 2, History 2.
Now, the History 1, something. In other words,
it's History,
History 1. Channel.
Okay. And I think I'd emailed you some information, Jeff, regarding the X-Files is coming back on TV for a six-episode series of it. It was
now,
six extraordinary episodes.
Okay, what's the most important thing you want to tell our listeners about the X-Files?
They give
things away in there. They reveal things.
Yes, well, that one episode where Mulder saw a craft in a hangar that he should not have been in, and he was giving a debriefing agent through the eye to make him forget what he saw. When my uncle, who was in the Air Force for 37 years, and he had a high security clearance, he's the one who saw the satellite photos of the Noah's Ark on Mount Ararat. He
uh-huh.
told me when that was shown, that episode was shown on X-Files, he said that's the first time the American public was shown debriefing can be conducted without sitting across the table from someone.
Uh-huh.
He was shocked that they showed that they can debrief somebody with a chemical agent through the eye.
Explain that just a little bit more. A chemical agent through the eye.
Right, like a series of eye drops,
uh-huh.
and they can make you forget or tell what it is that you've seen and have you forget the episode that you saw if you saw something that they felt was sensitive enough that should not be discussed.
So they can wipe memory. Interesting. They can access it and wipe it if they want to. Well, I'm not surprised. And how many years ago was this?
God, I guess this was when, maybe 7 or 8 years ago? The X-Files, maybe 10.
Well, they may have it all done now electronically with just like the movie. Men in Black. Flash.
Yeah.
Fascinating. George, anything you want to add here? We're running out of time here, I'm sorry.
Well, people should keep looking up and have their cameras ready, that they're flying around up there. It's just a matter of being at the right place at the right time. We're talking about at least in the summer, 2,000 reports a month, so they're out there,
right,
on a regular basis.
There has been a drop-off in the number of reports that I've seen of abductees. It seems almost as if we're getting more of into a contactee mode, Frank Chile, no?
Yeah, it does seem that way. It does seem that way.
Yeah, interesting.
And I recently mentioned to you about a Colonel Ware. I'm trying to get him to see if he'll come forward and share some of the information he has.
Well, we're
he has some extraordinary information.
Very good.
And he discloses that the government was fully behind the day the Earth stood still, the one that was done in 1992.
That's the only way I see this planet being saved, frankly.
Yeah.
An ultimatum. Yeah. Okay, Frank, thank you very much for being here. Always a pleasure. We'll do it again soon. It's great to talk to you. All righty. And George, thank you, sir, Major, sir, for being here and for putting Filer's Files. It's always always enlightening. All right, you be well. Have fun.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Okay, Frank and George, and that's our first hour, just a little fun, fascinating conversation for you on this Friday night.